Well, it's been a fabulous term. If I just change this up over here. Yes, that should do it. And last week, how many of you were here for the Peter series? Menzie was backsliding. He wasn't here. Down in KZN, the promised land. So today, I thought we'll start with a movie. Everyone likes a Western, right? Like in Texas and shooting and stuff. So here we go.
So the story all begins with this big party that Ahasuerus throws after becoming governor. Everyone is having a great time until Vashti, his wife, humiliates him when she refuses to strip dance before the crowd. One of his advisors suggests that he upgrade to a new wife, and after a long competition, Esther is elected. But she decides to conceal that she is Jewish. This advisor, who is actually Haman, is promoted and, as a result, starts demanding respect. Mordechai refuses to play along with Haman's megalomaniac demands, which leads Haman to come up with a final solution for all the Jews. Ahasuerus is persuaded with a fistful of dollars and the excuse that the Jews are a bunch of party poopers. A date for the annihilation is chosen with a throw of the dice, and his supporters get a memo to start preparing. Mordechai was to receive special treatment with a hanging tree 50 feet high. No one cared that the Jews were actually good citizens, or that Mordechai even saved the king from an attempted assassination. But one night, when Ahasuerus couldn't fall asleep, he remembers that he still owes Mordechai a reward for saving his life, and tries to come up with a good idea. He consults with Haman, who gets him all wrong and recommends he takes a ride through town in the governor's coach. Some major miscommunication this was. In the meantime, Esther realizes that the noose is getting tighter around the Jews' necks. At a private cocktail party, she informs Ahasuerus that Haman is actually trying to kill her people and that he can't keep his hands to himself. So Ahasuerus decides to relocate Haman. But this is just the beginning. Mordechai gets Haman's job. The day of annihilation becomes a day of rescue.
How's that for a Western, hey? I mean, well, Clint Eastwood might have directed that back in his day. So you might have guessed there were some Jewish guys who put that Western together. But it's kind of about the life of Esther, isn't it? And so we're going to be connecting with Esther today. You're going to be doing the sermon today, which is why you see creative stuff around. But one more video to give you the big story, and then you'll be able to fill in the details.
There once lived a young girl named Esther. She lived with her adoptive father Mordecai in the city of Susa, and they were secretly Jews. Now, at that time, the Jewish people were under the rule of the Persian king Xerxes, who, as it happened, needed a new wife. King Xerxes brought together all the most beautiful girls of the land so they could pick a new wife. And one of these beautiful girls was Esther. These girls went through days and days of beauty treatments, and in time, Esther became favored by everyone, and she was selected to be queen. Mordecai, Esther's father, would walk around the palace gates hoping to hear from Esther. And on one day, he overheard a plot by two of the king's guards to kill King Xerxes.
Nah, you do it.
Mordecai told Esther what he had heard, and Esther told the king, who dealt with the problem. Even though Mordecai saved the king's life, he never received an award, and the king never knew what he did. And then Mordecai found himself in trouble when a man named Haman rose to power. Haman was second in command to Xerxes and would command all people to bow down to him. But Mordecai wouldn't, as he would only bow down to God. Haman was furious and began plans to kill Mordecai and all the Jews. Haman created a law that all Jews must be killed, even the women and the children. So Mordecai went to Esther and begged her to speak to the king. But she was afraid, for if she visited the king without an invitation, she would be killed. But Esther responded to Mordecai, asking everyone to pray for her, and decided she would approach the king even if it meant death. Esther went to Xerxes, and because he loved her, he asked what it is that she wanted to ask him. She said, "If it pleases you, my lord, you and Haman are invited to a dinner I have prepared." Time came for the meal, and at the end of the meal, the king asked Esther again what she wanted. She replied, "Come with Haman tomorrow to another banquet. Then I will answer your question about what I want." That night, the king couldn't sleep and decided to look through his book of records. He then discovered that it was Mordecai that had saved his life and decided to do something great for him. Haman arrived and the king asked him, "What would be a way of celebrating such a great man?" Now, Haman thought the king was talking about himself and suggested that a robe and a horse be provided for this great man to ride on. "Perfect," said the king, and commanded Haman to arrange those things for Mordecai. Haman wasn't pleased. The next day came and it was time for Esther's second dinner feast. And at the end of the meal, King Xerxes yet again asked Esther what it was she wanted. She responded, "If it pleases you, let me live. This is what I ask, and let my people live too. For Haman wishes to kill me and all other Jews." The king was furious and had Haman taken away, removing all his possessions and giving them to Mordecai, giving him the position of second in command.
Ooh, a heart.
The king wrote a new law for God's people, and Esther and Mordecai lived their life serving the king.
What an amazing story, hey? I mean, how one person could be so used of God. So the king set the scene before you start your hard work. He puts on a banquet, and for 180 days, he shows off to the world his incredible wealth and his kingdom. That must have been quite the kingdom. If you're going to be queen, this is maybe the kingdom you want to be queen of. Not KZN, the Susa kingdom in the capital, okay? Even though I love KZN. So he gets his queen Vashti to come to show off her beauty. She says, "What, do you think I'm a piece of meat? I'm not parading up and down in front of your friends. Forget it." Before you know it, she's just banished, kicked out of the kingdom. It's a different day, ladies. Aren't you glad you don't live in that day? Okay? Day of unempowerment, I'd say. And a new search, or a search for a new queen, is started. Now, there are 9 stations, and I'm actually going to ask Hannah to move here. Do you want to join Hannah? And we're going to need one of you at least at that table at the back. Do you want to jump across there? Not you, Steph. And then would you mind handling that table for us over there? So as long as we've got someone on each table, that's looking cool. And here's what you're going to do. So because it's been a very busy week and I didn't have a chance to prepare a message, I thought you could prepare the message today. Okay? And here's what I'm going to have you do. On your table, there's a piece of paper with a scripture and some cheat notes at the bottom of the scripture. There's an image as well. There's another page with a scripture that you're going to use later, right, when you come up to stage. I want you to find whether in your part of the story, and it's in order from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, in the order of the story, I think there are 9 ways or 9 steps, secrets to being used by God. And I want you to discover what the secret to being used by God is in your part of the story. If you can match it to the answer that I throw on the screen, you get R1,000,000. Genevieve will provide that from her wallet when you leave. So, just kidding, we'd love to see what insights you get. I'll throw up some principles after that on the screen, and let's see what you discover in those sections. So, what do you learn about being used by God? You will come up, you will read just the scripture, and then using your piece of A3 paper, if you've made some notes, share with us, and it might be 1 or 2 things. How can you be used of God? In other words, what do we learn from Esther about being used by God? Everyone clear? Okay, so, right. This is going to be dramatic. This is going to be arguably the best sermon you've ever heard in your life, because we have got a whole group of budding preachers here this morning. If you do this well, you might just be preaching in the new year. Yes. Okay, so we're going to start with table one, and we'll go in the order 1, 2, 3, so we keep it chronological. So Esther chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. Get ready, folks. This is going to be awesome.
Esther 2, verse 5 to 7. Now there was in the citadel, I did say that right, just saying, of Susa, a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin named Mordecai, who had been carried into exile from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This young woman, who was also known as Esther, had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died.
One thing we learn from this verse about being used by God is that we see that although Esther didn't have a mother and she didn't have a father, she was taken in by Mordecai. And in this case, we see that she was adopted, and Mordecai didn't know what God had in store for them. He didn't know that Esther was going to be a queen, so he trusted God with the plan that God had for him. And also, it was a first step for him, because if Mordecai hadn't adopted Esther, she would have not become the queen. So that's what we learned from Esther.
Together. Very nice. You know, you might think, well, God can't use me. I mean, I go to Parktown Girls High School. You know, I'm not like at a good school like St. Stithian's or Parkhurst Primary. I'm just a nobody. And God's like, I used Esther. She was an orphan girl. She was one of my people, but they were in exile. They were disempowered. They were like slaves there. God can use you. Don't ever think God can't use you. God will use you. Who's next? Esther chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. Yes, CJ.
Many young women were brought to the citadel of Susa for 12 months of preparation. Esther was also taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who had charge of the harem. She pleased him and won his favor. Immediately, he provided her with her beauty treatments and special food. He assigned to her 7 female attendants selected from the king's palace and moved her and her attendants into the best place in the harem.
We said that God sees potential in everyone, and that there's always beauty with a purpose, and that victory loves preparation. God doesn't choose you only because you're beautiful. He sees a quality in you that he will use with something else, and that you have to be prepared for God to use you in different ways.
Wow, I'm so glad you are preaching today. Victory loves preparation. I mean, that is just huge. I don't know who came up with that, but you two rock. I mean, my gosh. So when you want to be used of God, God's going to say, well, okay, let me help you prepare for this, because it's going to be your moment or an extended time in which you share. But now, to get there, you know, you need preparation. It's like schooling. It's like, you know, an internship or whatever. So, hey, great. Let's carry on with Esther chapter 2, verse 15. Next two.
When the turn came for Esther to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's, I have no idea how to pronounce this word, eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested, and Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her.
So basically what we came up with is that Esther trusted somebody who knew the king rather than trying to figure out what he wanted, well, by using her own instincts, which wouldn't have gotten her the position otherwise. But when she did follow Haggai's advice and actually became queen after she was liked by everybody, God then used this later on to basically help her use her position to save the Jews. So.
Wow, very nice. Very nice. Yeah, clear reference to what I had thought as well, that you got to find out what God wants. Sometimes I'm tempted to say, I want to do this. God, come join me here. And God's saying, Mark, if it's okay, I'm busy doing something over here. You're welcome to join me in what I'm doing. And so it's about figuring out what God's doing. Lovely reference there that you girls came up with, that she found out what would please the king and didn't just make up her own mind about that. Right, we're jumping across to this side, Esther chapter 2 and verse 17.
Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti.
Okay, so what we learned is that in order to be chosen to be used by God, you need to work hard and be the best. And that if you want to be used by God, you need to maintain good relationships with your neighbors.
It's that idea of favor, right? Favor with God. Favor with others. Jesus grew in favor with God and with man. Love your emphasis there on favor with your neighbors. Okay, it's no good being known as a terrible person in your community, and then it's not quite right, you know, when you step forward to be used. Very nice. So we're going to go into Esther chapter 2, verse 22. The boys are back in town. Well, the one boy, the other boy lives in town. Nice to have Menzi up from KZN.
Where he was trying out to be the new king's bride. No, that wasn't right. Sorry, let's mix that up.
During the time Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway became angry and conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. But Mordecai found out about the plot and told the Queen Esther, who in turn reported it to the king, giving credit to Mordecai.
Well, what we learned from this is that if you are loyal, then you will be favored. Because if you think about it, Mordecai didn't have to tell Esther to tell the king that they were planning to assassinate him. But because he did, he ended up second in charge to the king. And yeah, and also,
Very nice. Round of applause. And before she does a big thing, she does some small things, right? She intervenes in this assassination plot and stuff. And so God will often test you before the big job is ready. He gives you something smaller to do, you know? I've always felt that when a teenager comes to you and talks to you, they've got an issue. But before they put the real thing on the table, they'll give you a small thing and see how you deal with that. You know? Are you trustworthy in helping that? Or does that person you're sharing with pick up the phone, call your parents or something, and you're in big trouble? So depending on how someone handles the small thing, you might then follow up and give them the big thing. God gives her something smaller, and then suddenly she's positioned and ready to do something more specific. Right. Ooh, and the music gets a bit dark here because there's some problems in this whole story. And I hope you made something out of this Esther chapter 3. I don't know if it fits. Maybe you found something.
King Xerxes honored Haman and all the royal officials at the king's gate where commanded to honor him by kneeling down in his presence, but Mordecai refused to do it. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down before him, he was enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he looked for a way to destroy all the Jews in the kingdom of Xerxes, and not just Mordecai.
What we learned of being used by God is when Satan wants to mess up all your plans with God, and sometimes God causes you to do big things. When God sees your love in him, he will do everything he can to save you and your family. And what we learned was Mordecai would only bow down to the people he would trust and the people that he would love, but not really necessarily anyone on earth.
Thank you so much. Really, really good. When you step up to serve, expect to encounter bad guys. She spoke about Satan. You know, it's not just going to be all plain sailing. There'll be challenges, maybe some tough issues that you have to get through. And before the next group comes, let me, because we kind of move a little bit in the story. So the king honors Haman, and he happens to be from a tribe that hates the Jewish folk. And he says to the king, you know what? These Jewish folk, they're not integrating with society. I think we should have a wiping out day where we can kill them all. You know, a Thursday, that's a good day for wipeout, because then it's done by the weekend and you can relax. And he offers to give the king a lot of cash. Hey, king, if you do this, then you can build a new chicken coop, maybe a swimming pool, maybe another, you know, it could look as beautiful as in Kandla. You know, it can be like amazing. And the king agrees and says, let's set a date for the big killing. Esther's uncle, meantime, Mordecai, hears what's happening, puts on sackcloth, protests at the gate of the king. He then sends word to Esther and says, hey, Esther, you need to go to the king and plead for the Jews. Is she going to do it? I don't know. I don't know. Come tell us what happens. Here we go. Esther chapter 4, verse 13 to 14.
Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Dun, dun, dun. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just a time as this?
So what we learned is that Esther cared for the Jews more than herself. God made Esther queen so that she could represent the Jews on their behalf. In life, we go through a process like this where the gospel of Jesus goes into us and we become leaders as Esther did, and we fight for others. Thank you.
Very nice. You're in a unique position. I love the way you ended by saying we go through that same thing, where God chooses to use us and puts us into that unique. She had a clear place, position from which she could influence society. If she wasn't there, she's a nobody. I mean, I don't waltz into Mr. Jacob's office on a Monday and tell him what to do with the country. But if I was appointed the minister advisor or something, you know, maybe the pastor responsible for praying for the leaders. Our pastor Simon in this church has been placed in a very key position even within our city. And he has an audience often with the mayor. You know Simon Lerifolo, Pastor Simon? And he's right in there, able to speak in to the lives of people like Paul Mashatile and others as they help to lead the city. Wow. Positioned for influence. Esther chapter 4, verse 15, second to last group. Dun, dun,
dun. Okay, Esther 4, verse 15. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go into.
Okay, what we learned from this was that everyone has his or her own part to play to save the world. God always has a solution to all the problems we encounter in life, and he uses you as a light in the darkness. And just like a mustard seed may seem small and insignificant, it's just as significant. God is with you, and you need to believe he is. Thank you.
Whoa, thank you so much, Steph. Step up to be used of God, okay? Step forward like the ladies are stepping forward to do the last group. Step up. If you don't step up, you don't put your hand up, you don't volunteer, that moment will be gone. And it's gone, okay? So put your hand up and God will use you. Right, the last one, Esther 4, verse 16.
Esther said, and then, notice against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die.
So Esther was willing to pay a huge price to be used by God. But the good thing is that God will always redeem the price you pay.
She was willing to pay a great price, but never forget, God will redeem that price. God will step in and ultimately pay that price. Serve, even if it's costly. Don't just only serve if it's comfortable. God, can you guarantee me that I'm only going to be rich and famous? God's like, I think I might need to go with someone else. Yes, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to redeem any suffering. But you know what? There might be challenges along the way. Don't forget there's Haman, which sounds a lot like Hangman. And he's a tough blighter that, you know. So the rest of the story, Esther goes to the king. And now let's hear that dun, dun, dun. And he accepts her, even though she's not allowed to do that. He hasn't called for her. I mean, that's a imagine you can't go, I think I need that in my home. Debbie can't just come and say something to me when I don't say, excuse me, you, who me? Yes, you, wife. Would you come here? I mean, do we live in a different age? She couldn't go and see him. He would take her head off. And you don't look good without a head. You don't. You know, you don't. Even if you put it under your arm, it's not nice. You know what I mean? She goes knowing that that can be the death of her. Whoa. And he doesn't have her killed. Instead, he extends the scepter, the royal scepter, and says, you may touch the royal scepter and live, my darling. What amazing, gracious husband he is, don't you think? He offers her half the kingdom. I mean, if they were married in community or property, she would have had it anyway. He had obviously made her sign an antenuptial contract, you know what I mean, with some special clauses or something. And she says, just banquet. Just come to dinner. I'm going to serve you, roast leg of lamb and some pork and some veggies. We're going to do come dine with me this tomorrow night, okay? Come dine with me. And that banquet is a huge success. The meat's perfect. Everything's great. And he says again, what can I give you? She says, just come tomorrow night. But can you bring Haman with you? Really like Haman to be at. She's wise. She's not just beautiful, you know? She's got brains as well. God calls us to use everything we've got. And on the way home, Haman sees that Mordecai is not bowing down to him. His wife suggests that he builds a hanging tree, just like in Mockingjay. Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun. And clever plan this, the king is going to hang Mordecai. Man, sometimes, what's that story about? Dig a pit and you might fall into it yourself. That night the king can't sleep. He goes to the library or he Googles .com, enter. And he reads there like News 24/7 that there was this assassination plot and this incredible guy Mordecai saved his life. And he can't read anything about what was done to bless the dude. Like nothing. Didn't get anything. Nothing. Not even roses. And guys like roses. You know, red roses. And so he says like, man, we need to reward him. The king says to Haman, the moment the king says, how do I honor someone who's really special to me? Now, what does Haman think? Oh, it's me. I'm about to get honored. So he thinks of the best way. Give him your horse. Let him drive through the city. And let some dude like Mordecai lead him along on the horse. And the king says, fabulous idea. It happens tomorrow, except it's Haman leading Mordecai, who's sitting like a prince on top of it. So the king goes to the banquet that night. And Esther says, would you please spare my people and me, the Jews? And he's like, what? You see, that's the problem when you don't have social fellowship with your wife. You don't know she's Jewish after 10 years of marriage. So it's very important that you communicate, guys, not just grunt. You know what I mean? Sometimes us guys, we don't communicate as well as the girl folk. So you need to connect. He would have known this all along if this silly old timer wasn't like so doff. And so the king says, who came up with the idea? And she says, dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Off with the head, okay? And the king scraps the plan and has Haman hanged on whose gallows? His own gallows. I mean, it's the irony in the story is just so great. The king gives Esther Haman's estate and appointed Mordecai over the estate with his signet ring, which that's original photograph from that time. It looks a bit cartoonish because of the cameras they had back in those days. And there's the signet ring in his hand. The people rejoice because they were delivered from destruction. As that story ends this morning, what do you think God has said and is saying to you about being used by him? Where are you at in this process of being used by God? Maybe it's one of the points that came up, something out of your table, but I want you to bring that, and in a few moments of silence, pray as I then close off in a while. So what has God said to you about him wanting to use you? Let's pray. Lord, as we just wait in a few moments in front of you, won't you speak to us about how and what we need to do next in our lives to be used of you? Maybe you're calling us to step into something. Maybe there's a time of preparation coming. Maybe there's a moment of volunteering and stepping forward. Maybe we're feeling like we've been beaten down and there's lots of negativity and oppression, and maybe the evil one is against us. But Lord, whatever you taught us this morning, we wait on you in these few minutes to hear what you're saying to us. Quietly in your heart, just pray that to God. Ask him for help in that area or encouragement or whatever you need right now. Lord, we don't know when the moment comes when you want to use us. Lord, there was that one moment in Esther's life, particularly where you used her. And Lord, maybe this is our time of preparing, or maybe something's standing in front of us right now. Maybe there's a number of things and ways in which you have already used us and want to use us in the future. We pray, Lord, that we would be found in a good place when you call. And before we get asked, Lord, may we be looking around saying, how can God use me? God, where are you working and how can we join you in what you're doing? And so we pray, Lord, that you would give every young person seated here this morning courage to be used. Help no one to think that they can't be used by you. May we step forward when the time comes. May we go through a time of preparation. May we have the courage. Maybe we will serve even if it costs us, even if it costs us to the point of our lives. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we've got something really exciting lined up for next year. You might have seen a little logo thing around the church that speaks about revolution downstairs. So we'll be looking at what revolution's all about. It's time for us to start a little revolution, don't you think? And I think it's round about time. So what does it take to be revolutionary? Who can be a revolutionary? And what do we need to do to be incredibly powerful as a movement of young believers? And so that's for the new year. Have a good break. I'm sure it's going to be special. You will get bored maybe once or twice. And if you are bored, and then just phone a friend and be bored together.
I just wanted to share something that when Pastor Mark said that we need to pray that God would use us in specific areas of our life, and that we should ask God where he wants to where we should join him. During the course of this week, I read a story about a young boy that went into the swimming pool, went into the sea or lake. He wanted to swim, and before he knew it, an alligator had grabbed his legs, and his dad was in the garden and saw that the alligator had his legs. He swam as fast as he could, and his dad held on to him, but the alligator was too strong. But his dad didn't let go, and they asked him after that, why did he have marks? He said that the marks are not from the alligator, but it was because my father would not let me go. And that sometimes in life, the devil would be the alligator. He's trying to pull us in. He wants us to go down with him. But Jesus says, I'm not going to let you go, and I'm going to be with you till the end. Have a blessed week.
Well, thank you so much. That was amazing. Well, chill, relax. You've got some 10, 15 minutes to chill. Church won't be out until 12. Awesome. God bless.